Club Zero, Paranormal, doing. Hi, this is Chris Andrews from Club Zero Paranormal, bringing you another paranormal podcast from Club Zero Paranormal. This is our fourth podcast, I do believe, in a series of various internet podcasts covering all aspects of paranormal phenomena and the supernatural to everybody out there. So hi there, paranormal land and the spooky realm. So if you are fortunate to have a laptop or an iPhone or an Apple device of some form, we're coming through. You can download us direct from iTunes, which is available on apple.com. So on various podcasts that we've done, which is a bit like an internet radio show, I suppose, to a degree, we cover in various aspects, as I've said, of paranormal. And I've got somebody here taking photographs of me as we're going along. So we've got a room full of people here today on this one. And it's the joined with the Club Zero team, actually. And I think what we're going to be talking about this evening is the dangers of the paranormal. What does the paranormal possess? The dangers, i.e. you have things like the Ouija board and aspects of that nature, where obviously if we was to talk about the Ouija board, the first thing that pops into people's minds is, I don't do it. No, I hate associating with it. But why aren't we associating with the things like the Ouija board? Because we believe it's dangerous. So, is the Ouija board really dangerous, or is it more a perception of our own minds? Well, this is what we're here to talk about, and we'll try and figure out things as we go along. It's about learning, joining together and learning. But as I said, this is Chris Andrews, Club Zero Paranormal, and you're listening to our fourth podcast. We're joined by Club Zero team. Good evening, guys and girls.
Hi!
They sound like a cheery bunch, aren't they? Alright, guys, your perceptions on paranormal dangers, anybody to bring it forward, whatever, which is an area, obviously. Paranormal brings out various, I mean, there's loads of different elements of danger when you're going into buildings, if you haven't got a torch, all the threats that pose potential dangers, you know, what...
You mean like Martin falling down holes?
Well, Martin is good for falling down holes, he is very good, but the thing with Martin is, he's like our sniffer dog, he detects the dangers before we do, so he hurts himself to save the others.
He's like the canary in the mine, he dies first before we
do. He is, yeah, bless him. But he's still soldiering on, he's got plasters all over, and I think he's got a few broken bones here and there, there's loads more to come. But he's a good guy, Martin. That's Martin Cooper, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, as we're saying, the dangers of the paranormal. Many people out there, they've heard of the Ouija board and they'll say no, and other people will turn around and say, okay, we'll do the Ouija board. But why won't we do the Ouija board? What is it that we believe it causes? So, anybody?
Most people believe that it opens a portal that can't be closed.
Oh yeah, do tell.
They believe that it opens a portal that can't be closed, which leaves the danger of, if they destroy the Ouija board, they're leaving a portal that's open, so activity is going to continuously happen.
Mm. That's a belief that many people do have, whether it's open or whether, but is there any scientific concrete proof to say that there is a portal being left open? we do know that there has been reports in years of people actually, there's fatalities have come from these things, where people have they've died or they've come to contact with mysterious illnesses or loved ones or run a bad luck. But is that because the board's actually done it, or is it because it's their own element? It's what would have happened to them anyway. Gemma, I don't know if you've got your name then.
I believe it's the power of the Ouija board is contains a lot of scare. It's all about scaremongering. There's been that many stories in the past of Ouija boards and what they've done, and that people have died and fires have started, and it's all gone horribly wrong because they have used a Ouija board. I believe it themselves who have used a Ouija board have that in their mind, which causes it to happen.
Alright, yeah, no, it's very possible, isn't it? It's very possible. I mean, have you done Ouija board yourself at some stage?
No, I've never have done a Ouija board. That's not to say I wouldn't do a Ouija board if it was done properly, because I don't necessarily believe in all the...
You've got very good concentration, haven't you?
Yes, I have a very, very good conversation. Concentration.
That's what you've got to do in this game, haven't you?
Exactly.
You know, but please do carry on. It's very interesting what you say.
Exactly. So, no, I genuinely believe that all the so-called incidences that have happened with the, you know, with the use of a Ouija board is actually done by themselves, their minds working.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, a very interesting point, gentlemen. Very interesting point. And I've got to say, I mean, as an investigator, you're very good on that side of things where the pressure is put onto you because obviously what we've just been doing then while you were talking, what you didn't see was doing. And the focus ability, that's what makes a good, you know, good investigator. Shirley's. You've just been having your hand up there, chicken. Let me just turn this microphone around.
I think what it boils down to, the biggest danger is fear itself. And fear is each individual, as an individual, can fear different things. And it comes from within the brain itself. So it's learning to control your own fears so that the danger that surrounds you is a lot less, i.e. it's like grounding yourself, making sure that you're grounded and you know what you're doing. They do say don't confront your fear because when you're doing that, you're actually festering it. So, you know, it's knowing it's there, but concentrating on other things around it so that it's not festering, so that you don't fear it. It's like with the Ouija board. I mean, a lot of people fear it, and that's the excitement that they get and why they use it, because, and then again, it's the idea of like fear festering is when the dangers come into it.
Yeah, so you're focused as well, aren't you?
Thank you.
Well, you're very focused. If someone said to you, would you do a Ouija board? Emma, you're hand up there, Cocker.
Well, I'd say there's another danger apart from opening, well, perceived danger. Rather than portals being opened and being left open, is attachments. Some people believe that you could walk away from the Ouija board or close it down, but yet still have an attachment, like either demonic or a spirit or something, and that can create like a negative impact on your life. I mean, I know people who have used Ouija boards and then have come to me, I've got scratches on my body and I've got this, and it, you know, the normal things which you just kind of write off as just not a normal occurrence, and suddenly they become paranormal because of the association. Because I did the Ouija board the week before, anything slightly odd, a noise, something falling off a picture falling off the wall, it suddenly becomes
possible,
paranormal.
Isn't it, for people to do these things, and then suddenly you get scratches on them. It's like you get a paper cut. You don't really realise you've got a paper cut. It doesn't start hurting until you look down. And then you realise, when did I do that? And it starts to hurt, doesn't it? That's when it starts to sink in.
Yeah.
So when there's people that have got scratches in them, it's a possibility that they could have acquired the scratches through some other way. It doesn't necessarily mean to do it.
I think the power of the human mind is, you know, extremely powerful. Yeah. And I think you can manifest things yourself without using a Ouija board, as in you can cause things to happen to yourself without that tool. It's a tool at the end of the day. It's a tool, and you know it can be.
So the difference what I look at is if some people would turn around and say, well, if they ask us, because we don't do it, obviously Ouija boards, because it's putting people in that element. Or the thing is, I suppose, is you don't want to subject them to things, because they're already going to go in with a negative aspect, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where the Ouija board
is. It's a fear, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's something that fear is a widespread thing, and it's something that can play havoc on someone's mind, so we don't tend to do it, put them in that area. But some people would turn around and say, what's the difference between conducting a Ouija board or a call-out, or a seance?
Or glass divination.
Yeah.
Or glass divination.
Yeah. Automatic writing.
All them aspects. Yeah. They're all joined into the same element, aren't they? But, I mean, what I would say personally is, I mean, if someone wants to do a call-out, if you mention doing a call-out to someone, spin that round, they're not filled with fear, are they? They don't have that. You might get one or two people who think, oh, seance, oh, I don't like the idea of that, but then obviously there are people, everyone to their own belief, but the majority, you don't hear bad things coming from the seances or carve-outs or things like that, so they don't really, the minds aren't filled with the negativity as they would if you was to conduct an Ouija board, which you can guarantee, if you got 10 people, if we went and took 10 people on an investigation, 8 of them would say, oh no, no, I'm not really into this. And if they did end up doing it, they'd have that negativity in the brain, wouldn't they, John? They'd have that in the brain, yeah, nodding. They would have that negativity in the brain. And then, because it's a known factor, so they think something from the board, or demonic, or evil possession of some form is going to manipulate them and the mind. So in actual fact, thinking of that, maybe the Ouija board can actually do, you know, can actually create harm, because, you know, because it's maybe not the board itself, but it's psychological to the person if they believe in this.
It's also quite almost like a ritual in a way, isn't it? Also, like, you can get a glass out and everyone puts a thing on it and it's glass divination, hopefully it moves, or planchette. There's something about the Ouija board which is quite ritualistic, I think, because of the way it's, I don't know, it's, you know, the way you set it up, and some people do an opening prayer or closing. There's just something very kind of occult about it. Like dark, maybe that's why people associate with dark, like a dark
it's
magic
bad
with
press.
It, or the negative no, side of things with it, because it's something very ritualistic in a way.
Yeah.
But that's the way I see it, anyway.
It's always the same as, it's all Victorian, anyway. Yeah. It's all like, you know, call-outs, seances, table tipping. You know, all that. I mean, we've done table tipping, we've done call-outs, we've done seances.
Ouija board basically was a board game brought out by Waddingtons.
Waddingtons.
They made the game. Yeah. It was a board game, just to amuse themselves while they were, you know.
It goes back older than that. It's actually it goes back quite a long time to China as well. There's, you know, it goes way back. I mean, I think that was brought out in the 1800s. I think, wasn't it, the Ouija board? But it goes back to China.
Yeah, 1100s.
Around about that period.
China.
Yeah, around about that period. But it's still, you see, the thing is, I think, well, you know, is a lot of Hollywood and television. Are you alright there, guys?
You carry on.
There's a lot of things on television, and Hollywood sort of produce a lot of negativity. People believe things, what Hollywood portrays things to be, when it's not like that. But Shirley, what's your views, chicken?
I personally don't see a great deal of difference between a Ouija board and a planchette. Because you're using the Ouija board and asking questions, and it's going to let us, or yes and no. With a planchette, you're asking it to move, hopefully in the way that you want it to write.
Yeah.
You do say, will you move to the left, if to say yes, or right to say no when using it. So in reality, it's very similar. So why do we associate fear with the Ouija board and not the planchette?
Well, I think the Ouija board.
It's got a bad name at the end of the day. But if somebody actually does do it properly, I would definitely say, if they open it properly and close it properly, that there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
So like you say, it's just bad publicity at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But personally, I wouldn't touch one.
Why wouldn't you touch one?
Why wouldn't I? Just in case, knowing my luck, 9 times out of 10, something always does go wrong for me. And I'd be mostly one of the people that something would happen.
So
not badly, like I'd go and die or I'd walk myself off the edge of a cliff or anything like that, but mostly I would end up with an entity that would be around me because they seem to latch on to me for some unknown reason.
So does that would sort of say to the point then that you believe that if you're sitting at a Ouija board or conducting that, that your belief is that something from that Ouija board will attach itself to you?
It might not be a bad thing, it might be a good thing at the end of the day. Nobody can say that it's going to be a bad or a good thing.
So would you use a planchette then?
I've actually used one before. But it's just, it's more down to the publicity that makes people think about the bad things of the side of it, to be quite honest, but it's proving it, isn't it, at the end of the day.
Like, well, you've just said, I mean, if you're going to go into this with a negative mind because you might think that something's going to happen or something's going to come from this, the chances are, because you're thinking that before, whether anything happened from the board or not, a belief in something is quite strong to that person anyway, and a lot of things can develop because of that belief. So the chances are you becoming ill or run into a series of bad luck or certain events.
That's every day we meet bad luck, isn't
it? Well, it's very different. It's a possible way that it could happen anyway, because your mind is going to be focused on the fact that this is going to happen to you because certain things are happening for the Ouija board. Mm. And anything that did happen to you, which would have been naturally probably happened anyway, you're going to put it down to the persona of doing the Ouija board.
I'd actually do one, but I would not open it or close it. Mm. I'd leave that to somebody else.
Yeah,
I wouldn't open it or close it. I'd be there and I'd actually be doing things with it, but I would not open or close it.
You get kids doing it. This is the thing. The problem is people think they turn around about paranormal and, you know, they think, oh, well, we'll do a Ouija board. That's the first thing that they ever say. They'll do a Ouija board, you know, and then they do this, they think it's a bit of fun. A lot of things don't happen, but sometimes a lot of things do happen because they're frightened of doing it, and, you know, like you said, things don't get shut down proper.
It's with the whole thing, I mean, I watched a programme last night called Teenage Exorcists. It was about a priest and three girls that came over from America, and these three teenage girls were exorcists. And they approached a young boy just in the street. They were trying to get people to come into this.
See, that's something I think that's dangerous.
And there was a young lad with a pentagram with the ram's head necklace on, and instantly you've got a demon inside you.
Yeah. So the ram's head, was it a representation of the goat of Mendez?
Yeah.
So it was a demonic.
Yeah, it was. But this lad was of the, goth rocker, type, and yeah, the instantly you have a demon inside you. You need to come to this, get to this gathering, and we will perform an exorcist, and we will rid you of this demon. And he mentioned that he had a Ouija board, and he kept this Ouija board till we had one at the house. Instantly, yeah, you're cursed, you've got this demon, you need to come to this car, you need to bring it along, you need to destroy it, you need to... And they were adamant. These three girls and this priest were, you have got a demon inside of you, and you need to bring this Ouija board. And so we did. And he actually he actually was scared, he was nervous, and he went in and they did this so-called exorcism, and at the end, he had the Ouija board with him, and then at the end, they held a cross to the Ouija board and blessed it, and then he smashed it into pieces on the thing, and he actually afterwards admitted that he was actually sad that he'd actually done it, because it had sentimental value, it was sentimental to him, but he was glad because he was scared of what the, they put in.
And
they put an idea into his head.
It's a thought suggestion.
You are demonic. This is a demonic piece of work. This is demonic. The same, they walk past a ISIS shop.
But if you're ill, and I say to you, take this, or a doctor, somebody that you trust. Now, if you go to a priest, then most people will probably trust them in that respect. But if you went to a doctor, and he gave you this prescription for tablets, and this is going to make you better, and you take the tablets and you start feeling better, and you find out a week later that really it was just Smarties, but yet you felt better, that's a placebo effect where you're healing yourself to a degree, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, on that level, like you just said, thought suggestion, if he really believed, when he was told that he's got a demon inside you...
Because of the way he was.
For him to do this...
Because he had dark hair and he had piercings and he wore a necklace.
But that's the placebo effect.
I got piercings, I walk around with shops on that have the pentagram on it.
I'm exactly the same. I'm exactly, but they walk past an ISIS building. They walk to an ISIS shop and there they were looking in and there was development classes, posters, teenage development classes aged from, I think it was 9 to 14 or something like that, where you could come in and do development. It was dangerous. It was witchcraft. It was...
Church or something that said that or something.
No, these three girls had come up, these three teenage exorcists that had come over from America, and instantly it was demonic, it was evil, it was dabbling with the devil, it was... All this.
Were they the ones that hate Harry Potter? Is it
Because I remember reading something about something like that, and even Harry Potter was turning children into Satanists.
I wouldn't sure, but I wouldn't be surprised by the way that they were talking, because it really was. And again, it's putting a fear, it's scaremonger. If there was a young girl on there that they said, exactly, there was a young girl that said that they turned around and said, "You're cursed,"
because
she had bad luck. Now I believe if you have a negative feeling about yourself, if you're feeling down and you continuously feel down, negative things will happen because you draw them to you because you are feeling negative yourself. Exactly. You feel positive, you bring positive things towards you. Now, they told her that she needed an exorcism, that she had a curse on her. She went and had a private...
Which cost her £200.
Which cost her, a donation of £200. She went and had a private session, and they held a cross to her head and, "Demon be gone. Joe, I draw you out, Satan," and they did all this with her, and she came out, she went, and she was really disappointed, because she'd watched the priest that had taught these three teenage exorcists, she'd seen his videos on YouTube, and these women and men that he was performing exorcisms were screaming and writhing, and she went, "And I didn't do any of that, I didn't feel anything," and she was disappointed.
See, exorcisms anyway can only be, you know, technically they should only be sanctioned by an authorised minister.
Yeah, you know, according to what they were doing, they called it an exorcism.
Well, people's interpretation of exorcisms can vary from level to level, but me personally, when we're talking about paranormal or alleged activity or alleged paranormal experiences or experiments that can cause physical harm or emotional harm, which can lead to physical harm,
but
me personally, I think when you've just been talking about exorcists and things like them, if somebody was to turn around to you and say, "I'm bringing in an exorcist," the word exorcist is like, puts the fear of God in anybody.
It's scaremongering. It's scaremongering. In my own point of view, they were scaremongering. They were just out there to scare the heebie-jeebies out of a lot of people. And that's what they did. There was this young lad with his girlfriend. They were both scared. So they were that scared that they went along. They went and they performed this
a money-making racket, basically.
Well, that's good for a podcast in the future about religion and things like that, with church and...
But no, check it out. Teenage Exorcists, it's called.
The thing is, though, like, when it comes to stuff like having, like, performing an exorcism, you have to go to the church. The church has to go to the Vatican.
That's right.
The Vatican has got to approve it. What they were doing was completely wrong. They're just giving...
Yeah. They were just approaching people in the street.
It was basically a con to get money out of them.
The con, basically, yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, this young girl paid £200 for a teenager with a cross to hold a cross to her forehead and go, "Demon be gone, you will be gone, you will lift this curse." And then they went, and the curse is lifted.
When you can get a vicar or a priest to do a private lesson for free.
Yeah.
You might give them a call, actually, see if they can come and
lift my curse. They can actually bless her house for free.
The young girl did actually turn around and say she wasted her £200.
Yeah.
People believe in these things, don't they, to do these measures.
It's very, very dangerous because, I mean, there are people that have underlying health issues.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think stunts like that can actually, you know, tip somebody over the edge, personally.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, basically, these people that are going around doing this sort of thing that haven't got, probably have researched on how to do this, you know, these exorcisms, and you can get the information off the internet from anywhere and as much as you like. Basically, the predators, they're preying on human society, and then they'll know exactly what person to look for, i.e. how they dress, how they look. When they start speaking to them, they'll pick up on the mannerisms, they'll find out, you know, they'll be very good at psychologically profiling that person. Mm. And once they've done it, they'll find out who's then ready for the, you know, basically going for the kill. And once they've got them there, they'll see their attitude changing as they reel them in, especially going on a fishing trip.
What would you say? I mean, like, you get paranormal groups, don't you, and people who go around and do spiritual cleansing. I'm going to send them to the light. To me, I mean, I don't know what you guys think. To me, isn't that a similar thing of as an exorcism, ridding something?
It's like an exorcism of a building, not of a person.
But what gives anybody?
Right.
What I've always said to people is, Club Zero, you investigators of the paranormal, which is nothing more than documentation and observations. We don't interfere or meddle, but you get other people that will conduct, like you said, exorcisms and things like that, but spiritual cleansings, and then suddenly these people who are being clients are suddenly feeling, oh, everything's there, all right, it's good, because these people have sent it to the light. You know what I mean? But for me personally, where's the scientific evidence to state anything that has anybody been sent to the light or cleansed? And if that's the case, can anybody just do this cleansing? Or is there a qualification involved?
Again, this so-called sending things into the light. Again, it's thought projection, I think, half the time. They'll tell these people, in a certain way, that will go right, they'll go into the mind and they'll start thinking about things that, like you say, what happened with us the other night, the last weekend.
On the private investment.
Again, you start putting positive thoughts into someone's mind, then that'll switch the negativity round, so the positivity comes in, overcomes the negative thoughts, starts building them back up again, and once they're built up, that's when they'll probably find that things will start to slow down or even stop. But it's actually going into the light, well, there's a lot of that. I think a lot of this, television messes things up.
But there's a story that I put on Facebook today. I shared it on people's timelines, I think, and that's about, it was to do with this medium who was allegedly being blamed for hoaxing. And he was conducting some ghost hunts in a pub somewhere, and I think it was about 14 people there attended, and it was they were paying as well, when they asked for signs.
Wasn't the guy that was in the attic, was it?
There's a guy in the attic, yeah, and this guy came falling out, and he said he was homeless, and but he had designer jeans on and things like that. So this guy just went, the medium went and spoke to his crew there, and then got in his car and drove off, so I mean. But again, but on that level, it's the same thing. Give us a knock twice if you're there. Boom, boom. It's, the thing is that too many people are taking too many other people for granted. And they're using the paranormal, they're using spiritual cleansings, they're using, as you said, exorcisms, they're using a Ouija board, they're using paranormal groups, they're using whatever they need to do to manipulate that fact and manipulate the people. And then other people, when we got a call out the other day, and we went to do this private investigation, the first thing that they said to us, they'd had two other groups there previous, before we went. And if things had been done, conducted in the correct manner, there would have been no reason to call us anyway, where they'd had two previous organisations. And from what they said, I mean, I'm not at liberty to say who these organisations were, but, but from what they was describing, the conductations, was just nothing more but charlatans throwing the wool over people's eyes. And
diabolical.
These people are causing major problems.
They were advised to use a Ouija board, weren't they?
They were advised to use one,
help get rid of it, use a Ouija board.
Yeah.
And these people didn't know how to use it or weren't confident, and they actually felt it made things worse.
Exactly.
One of the girls there was told not to meditate. She loved to meditate. To get herself off
Didn't
to sleep at night and relax. And they said that if she meditates, she will be taken over by this negative spirit that is in the house. And that,
But that's going in someone's house and putting the fear of God, and they're going around calling themselves mediums or paranormal investigators. When things like that, when anybody that does that, and now I know this group's going to be listening to this now with anticipation, and you can listen to it all you want, but if you are the people that do that type of thing, then you might as well pack it up now, because that is
that's
the biggest...
That's irresponsible.
That is very irresponsible. The biggest charlatans. Groups, paranormal, there's a hell of a lot of good investigative groups out there, a lot of investigative individuals and researchers who are genuine. Do genuine research to get people the help. There is people out there who are genuine that want to give people help, but they're doing it in the wrong way, without giving, and without really trying. But then there's other people out there who just want to try and get themselves a name, go to the light, you do the Ouija board, do this and the other, and really couldn't give a damn about the clients or the people that they're doing. And they haven't looked into things, and then they're leaving these people shortfallen with more fears than what they had when these groups went in. And to them groups, I say, if we ever come across you, we, you know, we'd shut you down. I mean, we're nothing big ourselves, but we'd make sure that the paranormal community would turn your back on you if you was that. I mean, to advice to people out there, and like we said, there's a lot of groups out there, you know, that are brilliant, but just look after the people, do it for the right reasons. Don't initiate trouble and danger that's unnecessarily needed.
Every person has to be treated as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go into each and every, whether it's a private inverse or a normal inverse, you can't go in...
Just turn the microphone around.
...and do the same thing, because each one is going to be totally different.
Yeah.
It's like Gemma was talking about the exorcist, sorry to go back to that, but it's like when they were doing what they were doing, it was with everybody there. Now, I don't disprove that, you know, I do think that in some cases it does help people, but it's a private thing, it should be done with each an individual person, not like scaremongering and with everybody
around. This person was terrified of what they'd been told.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when we walked in, I mean, obviously we can't give out information confidential case we're working on, but just to, when, you know, this person was very reserved, the person in question was sat back and very reserved and was drawing and wouldn't acknowledge the fact that, I suppose, that we was there to a degree. Very nervous, very within themselves. You know, and because of maybe not just the things that have happened to this person in the past, or why the reason why they called any investigators in the first place, but maybe the agitation of the previous visitation groups that have added this stuff to people,
fear.
You know, but yeah, added that fear, you know, and get, these people want peace of mind. The first thing that we think of is they want peace of mind. They've got to survive, regardless of if anything's going on or not. They need to survive. And whether it's paranormal or not, to that person, it could be very, very real anyway. Mm-hmm. So you got to, and that's how you got to tackle it. You can't just walk in there and start waving a smudge stick around or a packet of sage and onion stuffing mix and saying, this room is clear, go to the light, which is what they do. And believe me, people, there's people out there that buy Oxo cubes and they use Paxo stuffing and think it's a sage stick. There's people out there that really don't know. And they're causing more hindrance than harm. But that's not a reflectation. You know, we're not trying to turn and say, hey, we're the experts. We know what we're doing here. No, that's not the case at all. We're not the experts, but we do know how to look after people. We do know people's virtues, and we do take into account people's feelings and, you know, and making sure they're safety. So if that makes us experts, then fine, we're experts. But that's, you know, so should everybody else be in that field. There's too many dangers out there without adding to them.
Exactly. It's all about etiquette.
Of course it's all, yeah.
Respect.
Some of these people are really vulnerable, and, you know, they don't feel safe in their own home, and they're calling in a paranormal group to help them. They put their faith in this group, they put their trust in them, and they're probably going to say, well, they're experts, they know what they're saying, so I'm going to do what they ask me to. So it's like, in the way, I suppose there should be some kind of code of ethics, because...
If it's with decent groups,
with
good groups, you have a...
Is there some kind of...
Well, it's a list of rules, isn't it? There's a thing, like procedure.
Well, I asked this chappy, you know, one of the people involved, how did he come across, you know, did they come across us? Because they weren't, I mean, obviously, we're based in Stockport, these people weren't. And they said, well, they've been on the website, they found us on the website, and they read our profile, and we appeared to be good for what they read. And even though, we ensured these people that we had a 10-year record of...
They liked how professional we sounded.
Well, that's about professionalism and conducting yourself to the right degree, but 10 years speaks for itself. You know, you've got a 10-year record of helping people and you've never had any complaints. I mean, you can't help everybody, I suppose, because everyone's different. But I suppose just being there and listening and speaking to them in the right context, and knowing that someone's actually there listening to them without taking the mic out of them, or thinking it's all a joke, or when they've got no one else at all to, can actually help a person a lot, you know, in that respect. And I think we left that with a stage one where we probably won't have to go back, but we will contact these people just to check on them to make sure that they're all right. So, and that's what separates people, I think. You know, obviously it speaks for itself, like you were just saying there, Jill.
Yeah, but sometimes having someone explaining what is in your home, understand for the person. We've used community, if it was my home, the understanding, you explaining to me what is there, takes a lot of that fear away. Because if you don't know what's there and you're hearing things, or if your child's speaking to an empty room. But if somebody comes in, I know we've all got experience in this, but for somebody that doesn't, people coming into their home and just maybe being able to explain to them if there's something there, what it is, and maybe it's not of any... It's not there to scare them or to do, you know, it might just be...
Comfort them a little bit.
But do you think it's wrong for, let's say, you go to a house, or some people go to a house and they visit these people, and these people are saying, look, I've got this, that and the other going on. I can't sleep, I'm terrified, I don't know what the hell's going on. This is happening, that's happening, I'm at my wit's end, can you do something about it? Can you help me? And then these people who go along and visit them to try and help, turn around and say, well, you've got this going on, you've got this here, I'm getting the presence of this, and I'm getting the presence of that, and there's a man up there, and there's a man there, or whatever the case is.
Or you could prove it to me.
Exactly, what I was going to say, don't you not think it's wrong for these people to portray that information to whoever's calling them, you know, whoever's calling them out? Because if someone came to my house and said, there's a man in your hallway, or it's doing this and the other, then before he told me that there's a man in the hallway, I'd want proof that there was somebody in the hallway. Yeah. Because
You might not tell them everything, because you might not remember everything when they're in your house, but you'd expect them to do something, stay at your house for a good few hours and maybe, whether it's a voice recorder, whether it's a camcorder, try and get something to prove what they're saying is true, whether they've seen or heard something or...
Just come to collect somebody.
Oh, she disappeared. Sorry about that, it's just one of them just disappeared out of the room. Yeah, I always think, I mean, people are different, we all operate differently, but I think they'll get to the root of the problem first by speaking to the person in question, finding out what makes them tick, the highs and the lows, and you just find out a lot about a person just by just speaking to them and let them be themselves, and you'll find a lot of these issues can genuinely be, you know, sorted and closed up, really, just by conducting a mutual conversation or communication between the person. A lot, like we said a minute ago, a lot can be achieved just by knowing that you're listening and you're giving them advice and things. I mean, most of the advice that's given is common sense to a degree anyway, with a bit more development and guidance pushed in there to help them pursue that peace of mind that they need, you know. So, but there's too many things out there. So, I mean, obviously we've gone from Ouija boards to exorcisms and... Charlatans, as it were.
There's plenty of them.
There was a good band then, weren't there, the Charlatans?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. Very good
band in them days.
Yeah. And the Stone Roses.
Stone Roses, yeah.
Stone Roses, right.
I mean, one of the podcasts that I was going to do in the future is based on Satanism, demonic, and religion and things like that, but not and religion in a sense, because it's always good to stay away from religion, but just certain little elements that surround, these type of things. Obviously, it's not, so you can't go into the full details into the church and things like that. But you know, people's views on the good and the bad of things, you know, like this Satanism and things like that. Not that we're Satanists and we don't practice the occult and we don't crucify cats, you know, things like that. And I can't get the team to run around naked and sacrifice the Virgin.
Never asked.
except for Ian, I think he's volunteering. But there's people's got the belief, and the reason why I'm going to that one on one of the future podcasts, I think, is because of the influence of society and the influence of Hollywood and the brainwashing to some, maybe from churches of different religions and things like that. So I don't want to go into that too much, but that'd be my own belief, I'll be talking about. So when I do talk about that on a future podcast, if there's any complaints that come from that, the team are not responsible. That's coming from myself, so they'll be free for that. You can direct all your complaints and you can direct all your criticisms towards
hate mail
and things like that. But I'm sure it'll be something that we will be talking about, I'm sure, in the future. But anybody else want to say anything?
It'll be an interesting topic to bring up as well as, again, on this...
programme that me and Shirley have watched is there is a church in London that has the Zodiac on ceiling. Signs of the Zodiac actually on the ceiling of the church. Right. So that might be an interesting thing to look at.
Well, these are things, yeah, exactly, because people might be listening there and thinking, oh, it's gonna speak something about, you know, religion and things, and it's going to cause us, he's going to blaspheme us, or he's going to cause us against our beliefs and a lot of, you know, nasty untoward things. And that's not the case at all, because everybody, I respect everybody's belief. You know, Christian, Muslim, it doesn't matter what, everybody's belief. It's just to point out really a few things. Like, a lot of churches do hold artifacts and designs and paintings and structural add-ons and things like that that go a little bit beyond what you class as norm. You know, you think, well, that's a bit strange, and they've all got stories about them, you know, and things like that. And they have gargoyles. Some have gargoyles.
It's hard to say that.
You know, why have a gargoyle now?
Churches, cathedrals, they've got them on the roof, on parapets, they've got them on the walls.
Exactly. Is it to scare away the evil spirits?
Ward away.
Gargoyles don't look exactly...
They're like little imps, wings and all that sort of
thing. Anything evil that's going to go there, the gargoyles look evil, so they'll be best of friends. I don't understand, you know, it's what they do.
So,
them are little things to discuss, you know, the structural architecture of that, you know, which is based on that type of thing, and why people go into different things, and how TV and Hollywood and movies like Paranormal Activity. And all these things, they influence people, and people see these and they go out there and they conduct, and again, that's a poll, so that could relate back to the dangers that we were initially talking about. Yeah, Poltergeist.
The Conjuring.
Yeah, all these films.
So many...
I quite like the fear. That fear factor is something that we relish when we're out there and we're doing these investigations.
I like
sometimes,
and burgers, actually.
Relish is pretty good in burgers. But just wrapping this up, you know, the fear factor is there. You do miss it, and it's good when you do incorporate the fear factor. It replenishes that element of surprise. It replenishes that. And poltergeist and things like we were talking about, you know, is that the element of adolescence reaching puberty? Or is it supernatural elements of telekinesis or demonic nature? You know, these things, who knows? But are they dangerous? You know, you got the Enfield poltergeist and... You know, where things happen and people are lifted up in the air and landed on wardrobes and all these type of things. So, nonetheless, things do exist. Things are real. We can't determine the existence of ghosts, but we can determine the existence of strange phenomena. So whatever that phenomena may be, is our goal and your goal in trying to determine its origins. I'm Chris Andrews, and we've been here with the Club Zero team. And we're going to bring an end to this podcast. So what we want to do is you guys in paranormal land and the supernatural realm, tune in for our next podcast, which will be just as interesting as this one, I think. Guys out there, take care. Reload us on iTunes or listen to us on the internet. You can catch us on www.clubzeroparanormal.co.uk. You can find us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Phase2Para. Or email us at clubzeroghost@gmail.com. From me and the team out there in Paranormal Land, goodbye.
Club Zero Paranormal.